Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we start today. Oh Lord, we thank you again for this day. We ask you for our brethren that are not here with us today, especially for our pastor, Edwin Gonzalez, who is traveling for vacations. We ask you for his family and his friends with him, for you to give them a great Lord's Day today and a great time in vacation, and that you can recharge his energy, his spirit, his passion for the Lord, and when he comes back, we can enjoy of his ministry again. And we ask you that you also bless us greatly today as brethren gathered here in the church, as a church. We ask you for this class of Sunday school. We try to review today the book of Jonah, and we want to learn from this prophet because we sympathize with him in many ways, as you are commanding us to preach the word of God to unbelievers surrounding us, and we many times trust in your mercies, in your sovereignty, and we don't want to open our mouth and speak out the word, the words of God that we know, and we want you to help us to be more like the obedient Jonah who preached the word of Nineveh, and many people became Christian on that moment. Help us, and help us to obey the voice of the Spirit in our hearts. Help us in this class today. We ask you these things in the name of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, we are going to follow our agenda of prophets that we are seeing every Sunday here. And the title of this one is Jonah, the love of God for all nations. The love of God for all nations. Why is that? Because as you will see, the ministry of this specific prophet was not confined in Israel, was not focused on Judah. It was focused on external cities, and specifically a nation, very powerful nation that was Assyria in those moments. As a matter of fact, it was potentially their enemy. It's like, imagine for a moment that we try to help, I don't know, Michael, who is the enemy right now for the United States? Yeah, pick one. Yeah. Iraq or something like that. We are helping the people of Saddam Hussein or that kind of people that we have right now as enemies of the country. And then we are sending missionaries there that are going to be killed, etc., but they're going to preach the gospel. That's the idea. The first time you hear that, to go to your enemies, especially if you have had casualties in your family, like people dying in your family, your son died in a war against that nation, and then the Lord or the church tells you, hey, by the way, we want you to go as a prophet or as a missionary to that city where your son died fighting in that war to preach the word to those peoples there. That's the kind of things that Jonah was a patriot or a person with a sentiment of patriotism, and he didn't like the idea of Nineveh becoming believers. So he was just expecting the judgment of God. And then he was disappointed at some point. But the point is that, or the important thing to understand here is that if, as we believe, Jonah wrote this book, then you have to see this book as a testimony, as a testament of what he learned. In other words, if I write my testimony when I was an unbeliever, and you know all the details that I did before I was a Christian, and you forget the point that now I'm a Christian, then you will say, this guy is an unbeliever. Of course, I am telling you what the way I was before I was a believer. So that's kind of the things that you learn in Jonah. he wasn't an unbeliever. He was a believer. He was a prophet of the Lord in disobedience, in that moment. And then he learned the lessons from the Lord in that context. So this is the agenda that we are following for the next four months, which is we already covered an introduction of the prophets. And then we try to organize in a chronological order these prophets. So we already covered Obadiah, then we covered Joel, and now we are covering Jonah. And we are placing Jonah between this time frame during the kingdom of Jeroboam II. So we will talk about that. So regarding the contents of the class, we're following the same structure, historical and geographical context, then the survey of the book of Jonah, or the introduction of the book of Jonah. And then we will cover there why is the name of this book Jonah, who is the author of this book, what is the date that it has been written, what is the main subject, that is the main topic of this class is to know the main subject of the book. And then we will review an outline or this should be here, an outline and a summary of the book. And finally, lessons to learn. So let's start with the historical and geographical context. So what I mean with geographical is that we want to know where was Jonah when he left Israel, where he was heading to, and where he was supposed to be preaching. When you see the map, you can feel the spirit of this prophet trying to hide from God, run away from the mission that he had. So here is first the historical context. And this is very important, again, that you know these milestones. Very important for you to understand the history of Israel. 975, some people offers a different date, but like 931. But it's the important thing is the order of events. So around 975, the division of the kingdom in Israel north, that it was called Israel, and south, that it was called Judah, it was that happened in that moment, around this day. So after that, before that, you had King Saul, then King David, then King Solomon. And after Solomon, the kingdom divided in two, north and south. Northern kingdom with 10 tribes, southern kingdom with 2 tribes. Then the other milestone here is Israel's fall. When I say Israel's fall, I'm saying that the northern kingdom called Israel, around 721 before Christ, fell under the power precisely of this nation that Jonah was trying to reach, that was Assyria. And then the second milestone here is Judah's fall, which was under the hands of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon in 588. And then Cyrus the Great, Cyrus from Median Persian Empire, he wrote a letter, an edict, a commandment to free all the nations. That was in 538, and then all the nations came back to their lands, including Israel. They were in Mesopotamia, and they came back. So 70 years passed, and they call it the captivity of 70 years. And I'm reviewing this because if you learn this that I just explained to you, I think you are paid. You have the essential things to know about history on Israel if you know this milestone here. Because then, when you see the prophets, you just can classify them according to that timeline. So you know what prophets were before Israel or the northern kingdom fell down. And then you know Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah. They were just right before of Israel's fall. In the case of Isaiah, maybe he was alive and he saw Israel's northern kingdom fall down. But he certainly did not see Judah's Judah's fault here. So with this, you can have an idea. So we already covered Obadiah and Joel, and now we are seeing Jonah. Why is that, those dates that I'm putting there, 826 to 785? Well, because according to James Usher, he did a chronology of the whole world in the Bible. He said that Jeroboam II was about that time frame, Jeroboam II. And then with that, you can see, and I will show you later, that Jonah was a prophet during his kingdom, the kingdom of Jeroboam II. Jeroboam II was a king of Israel north. He was the 13th king in Israel. So that is historically where we are at today. So let's introduce the historical context. So during the kingdom of Jeroboam II, he was a prophet, because according to 2 Kings 14:25, Jonah predicted the victories of Jeroboam II, which for a patriot man such as Jonah, that would be glad to proclaim. So I will read you 2 Kings for you to understand. When you go to 2 Kings, which is a historical book, the author of 2 Kings says that the king, Jeroboam II, restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. So with that data in the Bible, you could say that Jonah predicted the victories of Jeroboam, and we are assuming he did during the kingdom of Jeroboam in these days. So if Jonah predicted that before that, then we are saying that because Jeroboam was here, someone could say, well, maybe he predicted right before that, so maybe he's from a time before. So that's why we believe that he was a prophet during Jeroboam II, because this text says that Jonah predicted specifically Jeroboam II, the expansion of his kingdom. So the commercial success of Jeroboam II brought wealth and prosperity to Israel, to which Amos and Hosea refer in their books. Then in Jonah chapter 1, the biographical account is developed between a frustrated trip from Joppa to Tarshish and Jonah's arrival to the nearest coast of Nineveh. We will see the maps now, but let's read the first three verses here. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. He thought that he was away from the presence of the Lord, but that was what he learned afterwards. He learned that he couldn't hide from the Lord. So with that, let me show you the maps. Here is Israel is around here. You see the Sea of Galilee here, this small spot here, and there is Gath, Hepher, Zebulun. That it was the tribe of Zebulun. That was the city where Jonah was from. It was from Zebulun. And then the historical record here in Jonah says to you that he, instead of going from here, from Israel, to Nineveh to preach the word of God, what he did is that He went to Joppa, which is here, the coast of Israel, and tried to take a ship to go to Tarshish. Now, where is Tarshish? Let me show you. So this is the map of the Mediterranean Sea. So here is Tarshish. Tarshish is what is Andalusia. I don't know how do you say Andalusia. It's in Spanish they call it Andalusia. So so anyways, in Andalusia, which today is Andalusia, it used to be, some scholars think, Tarshish or Tarshish. And then he took this ship and he was trying to go all this way to Spain. Maybe in that moment they thought that was the end of the world. You know, that was the they didn't know how to navigate farther than that. I don't know. But the point is he tried to do that instead of going Nineveh. So what happens is, you know the story, that the Lord then brought a big fish, that storm in the ocean, and then we don't know at what point that happened, but the point is that afterwards the big fish should deliver Jonah in the nearest coast of Nineveh, maybe here, and then he had to travel to Nineveh and then to preach the word of God. But this is the map for you to understand what was the reference here. So, having said that about the historical and geographical context, let's give an introduction, a survey about the book of Jonah. Why Jonah? Well, the name of this book comes from its main character, the prophet Jonah. The book won't say specifically that Jonah wrote this account, but it is reasonable to think that it was written by Jonah at the end of his career, having a retrospective look back to this crucial point of his ministry. So we have another example, like Moses writing in third person too. So it's not rare that you can find in the Bible someone speaking in third person, as another person suffered this and that happened to that person, and it's the same author who is writing that story. So the name Jonah, from the Hebrew Jonah, means dove. That is the meaning of his name. Jonah was a native of Gath Hepher, according to 2 Kings 14:25. We read that text already, from the tribe of Zebulun in Israel north. So if you see the map here, you can see that these are the tribes of Israel as they were allotted and cities of refuge. And then you have Zebulun here. You see Zebulun, and this is the Sea of Galilee. So Zebulun was part of Galilee. And then you can learn with that information about the ignorance of the Pharisees when they assumed that there was no prophet in Galilee. You remember that when they were debating about the person of Jesus Christ, and the Pharisees said, do you believe that this is a prophet? You need to search in the scripture and see that we don't have any prophets coming out from Galilee. That was false, because as a matter of fact, Jonah was from Galilee. And it's very clear. This is not speculation. You see the city here, Gath Hepher, that was part of Zebulun. That is a fact. He was from Galilee. So there you go, and you can see. So regarding the date, we are still reading this text of 2 Kings. Jonah prophesied during the kingdom of Jeroboam II, and this book could have been written after these events around the dates of the king Jeroboam, 826, 785, and maybe after this prophet learned through the work of God in him. So let's review then the main subject of Jonah. What is Jonah about? If you are asked by your children, what is this book about, Jonah? Maybe they weren't asked because they know better than us the story about Jonah and the fish and everything. But if you have to summarize the subject of Jonah, you could say that Jonah is about repentance in Nineveh under the reluctant preaching of Jonah. It's interesting. There was repentance in Nineveh, but it was under the preaching of Jonah, but it was a reluctant one at the beginning of the story. He didn't want to go to preach to Nineveh. He was hiding from God, and eventually he went there. So the key texts, let's read the key text in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." That's one text. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh this time, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. And then chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did, they repent basically, how they turned from their evil away, God relented of the disaster and he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So those are the key texts. Yes, man. He went happily. Yes. So in this text, you can see in the first group of the text, you can see first the first call. Hey, go to Nineveh. What did he do? He just go the other way around. The second time, this is the second call. Now go to Nineveh, and this time, as Manny's saying, he went to there. But he preached the word. When you preach the word, shame of us if we do that in a bad attitude. But in a bad attitude or a good attitude, we should preach the word of God. And when you preach the word of God, you have the results. In verse 10, chapter 3, the people of Nineveh repented. And then the Lord decided not to destroy them. By the way, the city of Nineveh was destroyed later. Let me jump to here, the prophets. So you see what happened with Jonah. Nineveh was okay. Then after that, Nineveh took over Israel. And then in the book of Nahum, they prophesied again against Nineveh. And in that time, eventually, they were taken by the Babylonians. So they, for sure, it was another people, another generation, a couple of hundred years after that. So again, the main subject is the repentance in Nineveh under the reluctant preaching of Jonah. Key words that you can find in the book of Jonah: the Lord appointed, or the Lord prepared for Jonah. In chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord appointed or prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, to take a transportation, you know, to take Jonah from that storm and to take it to the nearest coast. In 4:6, the Lord prepared for Jonah a plant to give him some shadow, refreshment. But then the Lord prepared for Jonah a worm that ate that plant. And that the reason was to give him a lesson. You see that, and finally, a vehement east wind in 4a that destroyed completely the plant. But the point that the Lord was trying to teach the prophet in that moment was that, hey, you have this plant, you are happy with that plant, and now you are disappointed because you don't have the plant. If that is a plant that today is and tomorrow is not there, how do you think that I am feeling, said the Lord, regarding a child, regarding a baby in Nineveh, that he doesn't know the difference between his left hand and his right hand? I don't want to destroy them. I want them to repent. But the Lord eventually will do whatever he wants. But he was trying to illustrate to Jonah with that plant to prepare him to teach him. So the other words you see in the book of Jonah is the word Nineveh 9 times and the word or the name of the prophet Jonah 16 times. So that is about the main subject of Jonah. So why is this book important? Well, this is important because it shows the love of God to the Gentiles as his love for the people of Israel. God chose his people out of all nations. You see, when you're studying the Old Testament, maybe you fall in the same mistake that the Israelites were in those moments. You think that the only godly people, the only chosen people, must be from Israel. And the rest of the world, you can't find any soul that could be a worshiper of the Lord. But that's not true. Because remember that the first Israelite was Abraham, and he was a Gentile. So the Lord chose from one race, which is the humankind, from that humankind chose one people. Who is that people? It's not Israel. It's the true Israel, which is the people of God. In those times, he formed this people of Israel. But in Israel, as a country, there were unbelievers, there were believers, and the true believers also in other nations. So now, in Nineveh, there were believers that believed in the Lord. What happens then with Israel? Well, Israel was put there as a light, as a beacon, as a lighthouse to illuminate all those nations. That is the idea. And when you read this book in the Old Testament, you can learn, oh, yes, the Lord reached out all of these nations. It shows also the purpose of God to reach out unbelievers, using his people as an instrument for salvation. In that moment, Israel. At this moment, the church, the true Israel of God. When we say that the church is the true Israel of God, do not believe that, oh, because I'm a member in this church, I am the true Israel of God. Is that you can know if you are a Christian for sure, because the Spirit will give you testimony and your fruits should be according to what the Bible says is the fruits of a believer. But other than that, the only way to know is that God knows who are his people. And it shows how God works with his children's character. How did God work with the prophet Jonah, working in his character, with the plant, with the fish, with the tribulations, so he could learn. And according to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jonah is the typology of Christ with the death and resurrection of Christ. Remember that it's interesting, when the Lord was preaching, he was in Galilee, in the region where the prophet Jonah was. And then when he was preaching the word, he says, Jonah, who by the way is from here, from Galilee, preached to the people of Nineveh, and they repented. So the people of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment against you guys because they repented with the teaching, with the preaching of Jonah, who is a man. And now here is someone greater than Jonah speaking to you, and you are not repenting. Can you believe that? The Lord Jesus Christ was preaching himself, the Lord, not a pastor, not a man, not a prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to them, and they did not repent. Jonah, a man, go figure how he was dressing in that moment after being in the belly of a fish. How maybe he was smelling, we don't know. But he was seriously concerned about the salvation of these people, preaching, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the people believed him and repented. But now we are preaching, and we seem like all dressed up, and this like a professional. You seem like this is a joke. It's like in a circus when it got fired, and the circus was burning all over the place. And in the great carpet, or the, how do you say, the great place where they gather, the great, yes, like the tent. The tent of the circus. All the people were there watching everything that was happening there, but they were not aware of the fire. And someone saw the fire, and they came to advise the people, but, oh, unlucky there. The guy that saw the fire and came was a clown, And because it was the clown, he was shouting, "Fire! Fire!" And the people, "Wow! This is so funny. Yeah, it's real. It's fire. Come out." Everybody burns out. Why? Because the messenger was a clown. And that is what happens sometimes in these days. But it wasn't a clown that was preaching the word of God. It was Jesus Christ in Galilee. And he said, the people of Nineveh will judge you because Jonah preached and they repented. And I am preaching here. I'm greater than Jonah. And you are not repenting. So that is a typology. When Jesus said, either way, because they said, give us a signal. Give us a sign. Give us someone to believe in you. And he said, the bad generation, the sinner generation, demands a signal, a sign. But we will not give them a sign, but the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ, is going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. I mean, he's going to be dead and then he's going to be resurrected. That was the only sign that he gave them. So what about the outline of Jonah? Well, you can divide by chapters. The book has four chapters. Chapter 1, Jonah's first call, his escape and judgment. Chapter 2, Jonah's prayer and his liberation. Chapter 3, Jonah's second call and Nineveh's repentance. And chapter 4, Jonah's anger and God's mercy. Let's read some of those texts to review the book because it's so short that we can take a look at that. First chapter, Jonah's first call, his escape and judgment. In chapter 1, we can read in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. But they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, lightened it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord. Have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That is the first goal. I'm not pretending to read the whole book, but it is good to read the Word of God. As a matter of fact, but let us pick some of the verses. So in Jonah's prayer and his liberation in chapter 2, I have tried over all my life as a Christian to imagine how could it be being inside a belly of a fish. And some people says is maybe it's just as you have been buried alive. And that's why the Lord is giving that analogy that in the same way Jonah was in the belly of the fish, the Lord is going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But imagine, because sometimes when you see a cartoon, you can see that it's like a suite. It's very huge and he's there. But the way I imagine is that he was trapped in some way and barely he could breathe because it has some air. But he described that situation like having plants, sea plants around the head and everything. He says in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. And remember, 3 days. It wasn't just an hour there. 3 days. I don't know how, you know, their biological needs or something. I don't know. But he was there 3 days. Definitely he could be very stinky at some point. Saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land. Those bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. And then he continues praying the Lord. And then in verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then chapter 3, Jonah's second call and Nineveh's repentance. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. So everybody basically repented, or most of the people, we don't know if each one of them, but it was a massive concern in the city. And finally, chapter 4, Jonah's anger and God's mercy, chapter 4. But, chapter 4, verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." So he was still thinking about, "I should flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Now, the Lord is patient, you know, because at this point, Jonah should be killed. Jonah went out. Have you figured out this? He's shouting the Lord. He's arguing with the Lord, etc. Verse 5, Jonah went out to the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So he was had hope still to see the city destroyed. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad now because of the plant. But when down came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" So, again, this is an unusual ending, because it doesn't say, "And then Jonah said, 'Oh yes, Lord, forgive me,' etc., 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 and they live happy ever after." But the fact that you have this testimony, for me, it's a fact that Jonah really repented from all his sin, and he went, he preached the word, etc., etc. So, finally, what lessons can we learn from this book? And then I will open the floor to you guys for your comments. So, first we learned about the infinite mercy of God to all kind of sinners. All kind of sinners. In this case, Nineveh, that evil city. The Lord sent the prophet and they repented. Second, we learned that we can't hide from the presence of the Lord. In Psalms, it is misspelled in here. Let me quickly fix it. In Psalms 139, verse 5, you can see that's one of the Psalms speaking of the omnipresence of the Lord. He is everywhere. So the psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 5, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit?" Verse 7. "Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well, etc., etc. So you couldn't hide from the Lord. The Lord knows you from the womb of your mother, and He formed you. Jonah thought that fleeing to Tarshish, about 2,200 miles away from Israel, he could flee from the presence of the Lord. However, he found God in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of that fish. So we learned that we cannot hide from the Lord. And then third, we learned that God works with His servants to shape the characters to be like their master's character. We see in the book the omnipresence of the Lord, and surely Jonah learned that. The attitude to preach, the mercy of the Lord, He was so merciful, even with Jonah. The testimony of Jonah writing the book, as I was telling you, this chapter 4, if Jonah was the author, he wrote this book. He has a point there. He deserves credit. He wrote this biography sharing his learning. So we have about 9 minutes left. So if you have anything to share with the class regarding the book, first Manny and then Michael. Yes. Yes, they did. You have the Bible, you can read it for yourself.
Something happened in their lives, and from that point on, what happened in England? So, it was conversion, or the impact of God's reality that it was anywhere he went.
Yes.
So, even disobedience, actually, the Lord turned around. Everything was very well planned out. So you said about
The Lord appointed for him the fish, the plant, the wind, everything. Yes.
God uses sovereign grace, and He'll do whatever He pleases.
Amen. Amen. Michael. Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't ever studied about the 40 days time frame, but a time of judgment or a time of truce, a truce campaign, and after the 40 days, it comes the judgment. And I think I have heard, maybe some of you have heard or you have read about people that have been swallowed by this kind of fish, and they have been found alive. So it is possible. Yeah, we are sure that it's possible. Some people say they're true believers, and they say If the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the big fish, I would believe it as well. But I think that the Lord works through possible ways. I don't know, but anyways. But any whale could swallow an elephant, maybe, or more than that. It's so huge. No. The problem was that I don't know. It was in 3 days. I mean, 3 minutes. I could die with 3 minutes, but 3 days. I don't know. Yes. But he was praying in that situation. That has great learnings for us in a situation when we are with the giant of desperation in the castle of the doubt, and you are trapped there because it's in your mind. Everybody surrounding you is, what's happening, brother? Everything is fine. But inside you is, I know I'm not good. I'm struggling with the doubt, with the desperation and the depression. And then you have the key of that castle, which is the promise. God promised you, whoever believes in me shall not ever die, but it will have eternal life, and that kind of promises. So anyone else wants to comment on Jonah? Or any questions? Yes, please, Veronica. Yes, as a matter of fact, we see that, but what we did not see, you tell me if you could see any clue on that, is that we don't have the express testimony of Jonah saying, yes, Lord, we know that happened in the belly of the fish because he prayed. That is the best part. But the amazing thing is, in chapter 4, he's saying, I should go to Tarshish, you know, because I knew you are merciful. What? What are you talking? Did you forget about the fish? I don't know, but that's awesome. Yes. Yes, definitely.
I will compare it to us that sometimes we pretend for something that we have been born, that we keep on loving the same thing.
And when our brother sins against us, that we should forgive him or her 70 times 7, you know, every time they repent, we have to forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven us. Okay, so we are all done. I will ask for a volunteer to dismiss us in prayer. So someone wants to pray. Michael, please.